You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Are you ready for some football? Are you sure? Is anyone sure? And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I am your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here with some more Packers potpourri to freshen up your lives now that the 4th of July weekend is, well, it'll be over by the time you hear this. It's basically over now, as today is Sunday, July 5th. Hope you all had a happy, fun, and most importantly, safe 4th of July. My 4th of July was a little weird. The wife and I were supposed to go see Guns N' Roses at Summerfest. Had pretty good seats. Saturday night show. Axl Slash should be fun. Obviously, that didn't happen because of COVID. So I ended up swimming with some family that were in town at the Holiday Inn in Pewaukee. A toss-up, really, right? Guns N' Roses at Summerfest, swimming at a Holiday Inn. It's about the same. So that was nice, but, you know, it's the world we're living in, right? Okay, so, you know, real quick, I'll just explain where I've been, you know, because I know I said in the last episode right at the end of May that I'd be back in a few weeks, and I realize it's been, well, been more than a few weeks since I said that. There's a couple reasons for that. One, you know, with everything going on in the world, I'll be totally honest with you guys, it was tough for a minute there to get into a headspace where I wanted to do a show. I mean, I'm always sort of thinking about the Packers in one way or another, be it the current version of the team or some team or player or moment from the past. I kind of can't help myself, but I wasn't really feeling like I could do an entire show. It just, I don't know, there was just, you know, with everything going on in the world, it was tough to get in that spot. And then really, the other reason, there just hasn't been much going on with the team, you know? They were doing the whole virtual offseason thing, which I think I said this last time too. We have no idea really what that entailed. So it wasn't like I could talk about that. And, you know, like I said last time too, I've never been a big, even if they had OTAs and minicamps, I've never been a big OTA minicamp guy. So but basically what I'm saying is it took me a minute to get to where I was ready to pop back in with another episode. But thankfully, I'm all good now, and honestly, I'm raring to go. Let's go. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to talk some football, talk some Packers. So today's show, as stated a minute ago, is going to be another grab bag of sorts, another potpourri, if you will. I got a couple of major topics I want to discuss, and there's a funny story thrown in there too. I really like the structure that I used last time. I hope you all did too. That format of kind of jumping around from the future to the past to the way past or whatever. So I'll be doing that again here. It won't exactly be like last time, but, well, don't worry. You'll see. It'll make sense as we go. Before I get into the fun, I got to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you all love or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The part two of the memes and funny Packers photos is coming. I swear it's coming soon. It really, it is. It's not a joke. It's coming. The email, OL Bag of Donuts, Old Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. Once again, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. Haven't heard from anybody in a while. Drop me a line. What are you thinking? Think we're going to have football this fall? No. Your thoughts on where the team looks right now? Anything. Send it along. And for anybody listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating. 5 stars. Me likey those the most. 4 stars are good. Anything else? Eh. Leave a comment if it's a positive one. Chris, I'm glad you're back. Hope you've had a good summer. I've been indoors most of my summer, whatever. You're my hero, any of that shit. Leave it. I'd love to hear it. Okay, so now that we done got that out the way, let's go. Let's did this. Let's dive right in. And I want to begin by discussing something that I know is on the minds of a lot of football fans right now. Will we even have a 2020 NFL season? Which is something I obviously alluded to in the beginning with the hopefully you found humorous pun on the old Hank Williams Monday Night Football theme. Or is it this? I guess he still does it, right? He's old now. Holy shit, he looks like the Crypt Keeper. Looks like a Crypt Keeper in a cowboy hat. All right. So, I got to be honest with everybody. You know, at this point, it's just so hard to see football happening, isn't it? Or at the very least, I think you might see football, but I think it's going to get pushed back, be it the start of camp or the start of the regular season. I know Mark Murphy just said today that the rookies, I think, are going to report on, is it July 21st? And then the rest of the team, July 28th? Something like that. Boy, that seems awfully quick, doesn't it? With the way COVID is exploding all around the country. It just, I don't know. You know, Wisconsin's actually been better than a lot of other states in the Midwest, but it's still, see, the idea that rookies are going to be showing up 16 days from now, I think it is. And the rest of the team, even 23 days from now, I don't know, you know. It's just the fact that COVID's on the rise again is just so troubling. For so many reasons, of course, but since this is a sports podcast, I want to look at it from that point of view, from just the sporting point of view. I mean, look at all the trouble the college football teams are having. Let's start right there. Teams like Clemson, the University of Texas. I mean, Clemson really got hit hard by it. But the University of Texas had a bunch of guys. I think it was 17, 18 guys somewhere in that neighborhood came down with it. That was the middle part of June. That was a story. I mean, and those teams are just doing like voluntary workouts or whatever. And tons of guys are getting sick. NBA teams, they keep having to shut down their practice facilities. They're all scheduled to go to Orlando later this week to start gearing up for their restart. But I mean, they've had to shut down their practice facilities after people keep testing positive. It just happened today with the Milwaukee Bucks. My beloved Milwaukee Bucks. Just had to shut down after results from, I think it was Friday's test. Let me pull up the tweet here. I do have it. It was, yeah, this is from Woj from ESPN. The Milwaukee Bucks have shut down the team's practice facility after receiving results of a Friday round of coronavirus testing, sources tell ESPN. The team isn't expected to reopen facility for workouts prior to the organization's traveling party leaving for Orlando Thursday. That's not good news. That's not good. And it happened late last week with the Los Angeles Clippers. Same thing. You know? Multiple baseball teams are having issues. You know? Baseball just started their spring training part two late in the week. Look at Freddie Freeman, the all-star first baseman for the Atlanta Braves. He got it. I think it's his girlfriend or wife said he's got a high fever, chills. I mean, it's really kicking his ass. And this guy's a finely tuned athlete. You know, it's bad. And again, outside of baseball, none of these leagues have even gotten to the practice or training camp part of their schedules yet. Again, the NBA doing its restart in Orlando at the end of the month. Of course, if it gets that far, which who knows at this point. You know, it's just so bad. What does this have to do with football? You're wondering, Chris, this is a football podcast. Great question. Glad you asked. You're very smart. So football by far has the largest roster size of any of these sports. That's a problem right there. Right? 53 guys plus your practice squad. That's not even factoring in the training camp rosters, which are even bigger. Although the league may end up trimming those back, it sounds like. But yeah, I mean, that's a problem right there. And then you think about football by far is the most violent and contact driven of any of these sports, at least in terms of like baseball, basketball, football. That's a real problem. These guys literally slam and crash and bang into each other every single play. They sweat on each other. They bleed on each other. It's 53 guys crammed into a tiny locker room together. I mean, I know the league wants to have 6 feet between each locker. I don't even know how they're going to do that. That seems asinine to me. Seems impossible to pull off. But, you know, are they going to have like a van in the parking lot? For van set up for the overflow for guys to get ready in? I don't even know how they're going to do that. There's just so many chances for this thing to spread throughout a team like freaking wildfire, you know? I mean, you'll literally have to have each and every one of the 32 teams be perfect as far as having a 0% contraction rate. Because if one guy gets it, it's really hard not to see everyone else, or at least a large part of that particular team, getting it too. So guess what? That team's getting shut down for a couple weeks. And what if they don't notice it until after they've already played a preseason game? Or a regular season game? Then that other team will likely be infected too. So now we're shutting down multiple teams for multiple weeks? How can you have any sort of legitimate schedule with that risk hanging in the air? Literally hanging in the air. You know? You're going to play week two and go, well, we were supposed to have 16 games this week, but these, you know, these fucking three teams, they got hit hard by coronavirus, so they're sitting the week out. You know what I mean? How is that even going to work? It just doesn't seem feasible. How is the entire league going to be able to walk this tightrope together? It just seems like too much to ask. And that's not even to mention, guys, what if guys sit out the season, decide to start sitting the season out voluntarily? Which absolutely could happen. It's happening in the other leagues. There's basketball players that aren't going to Orlando. There's baseball players that are sitting the season out. You know, as far as I know, none of the hockey guys have yet, but they might have, and I just missed it. Hockey guys are wired differently. They're just wired like they're all psychos. I love hockey. I say that lovingly. But they're wired differently. You know what I mean? So what if guys just start to saying, like, I'm going to sit? You know? What if, like, Phil Rivers says, oh, I'm not playing? What if Russell Wilson says he's not playing? You know? Or Von Miller. Von Miller got hit by it hard. He's still trying to get over the effects of it. So then you've got the competitive thing being thrown out of whack. How legitimate are the games you're even watching at that point if guys start sitting out? So, you know, I get why the NFL is acting the way it is. Football in the fall, it's a religion. It is perhaps, it's the most American tradition we have, or at least it's near the top of the most American traditions we have. NFL football, fall Sundays, you know, every year, like clockwork. And it would be tough for the country's collective psyche not to have it in the fall. So I can see why the league, in these most uncertain times, are trying to provide a little stability, you know? Something we can rely on, something we can look forward to, something to keep us going in this daily dreck of wearing masks and social distancing and not being able to see our loved ones, you know? I saw a couple of family members last night, and it was the first, in a contained hotel room. Like, we wouldn't even use the pool unless we knew that there was nobody in there. These are tough times. They're different times. So I get why the NFL wants to, you know, try to be that rock. But unless something changes and fast, I don't know, man. I hate saying it. I wish I could be positive because I try to be, especially on this podcast. But you got, at this point, you'd have to count me as being pessimistic about the season happening. Or at least, you know, again, happening on time. It may happen, but the season might not end up starting until October. I do think that's a real possibility that this thing is bad and they just push training camp back a month. Starts in late August. Season starts in early October, mid-October. I could see that happening. There's been some talk that could be on the table. So, I don't know. We shall see, right? It was very interesting to see Friday's message. I don't know if you all saw this. From the Packers about how they're planning on handling attendance at Lambeau this season. Again, if there is one. They're going to have significantly reduced attendance for starters. My guess is it'll be around 25. They're aiming for 25 to 30% full. No more green or gold ticket designation. Be everybody, it sounds like, in one big pot. And you'll have the option to either opt in or opt out for the season. If you opt out, you will either get your money back or your money will be rolled over to next season. So it's not like you're surrendering your tickets permanently. I just hope everybody knows that if they saw that. If you roll your money over, you are not losing your tickets. My guess is they're going to see who all opts in and then draw names until they hit their capacity limit. If they have too many names, which who knows if they will, I don't even know. Now, I don't have season tickets. My family doesn't. I'm lucky enough that I get to go once a year because a friend of our family has them and they let me buy a pair every year, which is great. But I got to be honest, even if I'm given the opportunity this year to buy him, I'll probably pass on it. Unless things change. If I had season tickets, I guarantee I'd opt out. No question. Here's the thing. Lambeau on Sundays, when you go, it's like Disneyland for adults. It's awesome. It's the most wonderful place on earth. You can park your car and get out and crack a beer and walk down the street past police officers and nobody cares. It's awesome. Everybody's drinking and having a great time, and we're there to celebrate life and football and the Packers and, you know, fall weather in Wisconsin. And brats and burgers and all that. It's great. Everybody's together, crammed together, and it's awesome. But it wouldn't be like that. It's not going to be like that this fall. You know? I don't want to go. I mean, you have to wear masks. Everybody has to wear masks. I don't know if I want to wear a mask to Lambeau. You know what I mean? I don't know if I want to, like, you know, make sure that no one's sitting too close to me or standing right behind me. You know? I don't want to have to try socially distance in line at the bathroom. That's not what the Lambeau experience is to me. You know, it's just, and I know that probably sounds bad, but like for me, it's like, if it's not all the way, then I just rather wait. Cause it feels like it wouldn't be the Lambeau experience that I've come to know and love, you know? So yeah, at this point, I don't think I'll be going to a game this year, even if I have the option. All right, so that was a bummer. 16 minutes in, it's been a depressing ass first 16 minutes. Holy shit. You know what? I want to lighten the mood. Let's shift gears here. Let's lighten the mood. I want to tell you guys a funny story. I told you last time the story about running into Luke Rogers, or being duped by a friend into talking to Luke Rogers when I was hammered at a karaoke bar in downtown Green Bay a while back. It was about 10 years ago now. So I want to tell the Desmond Bishop Twitter story. Now, if you know me and you've been following since the old Bag of Donuts days and you've been around since, you know, the beginning, we started our Twitter account, Adam, Gene, and I, after they lost to the Cardinals in the 2010 wildcard game, the 09 season. We started it, actually it was right before that we started on Twitter. I think it was Adam who signed us up. So anyway, that summer, going into training camp, I like to tell the story now because it was right around this time of year that it happened. I don't know exactly. And I couldn't find the tweet, I'm sorry, but I still basically remember it. There was this thing on Packer Twitter, which, boy, was a beautiful. Packer Twitter was a beautiful place in the beginning, wasn't it? It's not as great now, but it was beautiful in the beginning. Packer fans, do you remember these Chuck Norris facts? It was like this funny thing on the internet. It was that summer. People were doing all these Chuck Norris jokes. I did pull up a few in case you forget. Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice. Death once had a near Chuck Norris experience. You know, those jokes. Someone on Packers started those about Desmond Bishop, the inside linebacker, who, I gotta look this up here. Hang on a second. I'm sure this is, probably should have done this before. You're like, Chris, why didn't you do this before? I should have. So at this point in Des Bishop's career, going into the 2010 season, he played, but he had never really, he'd only started one game up to that point. Hadn't really put up any big numbers or anything, hadn't really done anything of note. But it felt like there was a lot of promise there. So Packer fans kind of started this whole thing with Des Bishop about basically taking the Chuck Norris facts and making them about Desmond Bishop, about like what a badass he was. So I logged on to Twitter one night. Oops, excuse me, burp, got to keep it real. I grilled tonight. It was pork chops. It was delicious. Had some corn on the cob. Fantastic. So I did this Des Bishop thing, and they said, oh, they were taking all these Des Bishop facts. So I, being the smartass that I am, logged on at the time and said, I said, all these Des Bishop facts are so great. Hey, you know the one thing Des Bishop can't do is see the field. I thought it was hilarious, and I didn't think anything of it, you know? I was literally, like, brilliant, hit send, and then I think I, like, fell asleep on the couch or something. And I woke up and it was just my Twitter account, like my notifications, it exploded. It just like, it was like wildfire. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, what's going on here? I looked somehow, because I didn't tweet at him. I just said his name, but somehow Des Bishop saw the tweet. And he replied to me. He replied to me. It was something to the effect of like, ha ha, fuck you, I'll make you eat those words or something. And I was like, oh, I don't even know. He might not have even, there might not have even been a ha ha. It might have just been, fuck you, I'll make you eat those words. But either way, I could tell you, like, wasn't super pleased with what I had said. I was like, oh shit, he's gonna kill me. So I said something to the effect of like, hey, you know what? Go prove me wrong. Like, I hope, make me eat my words, you know? And then Des Bishop, as you remember, or if you remember, 2010 was the first time he really got a chance to be a starter, right? I'm looking at his numbers now. He started 12 out of 16, 12 games, 15 games played, 12 starts, 103 total tackles, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 8 passes defended, 1 interception. Did he pick off Favre? I think he picked off Favre, right? And that was his one pick? And Favre would have been his second game back at Lambeau, his last game at Lambeau as a Viking. Anyway, just an awesome, phenomenal season from Des Bishop. Dude hit like a ton of bricks, was an awesome, he was great that year. So anyway, you remember how the year goes, the Packers, you know, they obviously, they won the Super Bowl. So they're doing the celebration at Lambeau. Was it, what, a day after they won the Super Bowl? 2 days after? Everybody gets on stage and the fans are all there. It was great. So I tweeted at Des Bishop. I didn't even think he'd remember me. I tweeted at him. I swear on my kids this happened. If anybody remembers, you can back me up. But it did happen. I said, hey, man, you know what? I talked some mad shit about you back in the summer and you made me eat my words. Congratulations on being a world champion, sir. And he tweeted back. I didn't think he'd say, you know, respond. Certainly didn't. He tweeted back. This is like as the celebration is going on at Lambeau. It was either right before or like as it was going on. He tweets back at me like, ha ha, yes, I absolutely remember your words. They, in part, served as motivation for me this year. Small part. And I was like, holy shit, that's great. How cool is that? Des Bishop. Me being a smartass on my couch in Minneapolis, in New Hope, Minnesota, suburban Minneapolis, on like a Tuesday night in July, I was able to provide him a small bit of motivation, which I joked on the old Adam, Gene, and I show, because we talked about it afterwards. I said, hey, everybody send your gifts to me. You can thank me for helping to motivate Des to kick ass and help lead this team to a world championship. It's great. It was great. I thought it was awesome. You know, people were like, oh, he served your ass. I was like, no, I think it's hilarious. I talked some shit. I didn't aim it at him, but he saw it. And he talked some shit back. And in the end, hey, who helped out? I helped out. Your old pal Lemps. So I did just want to tell that story quick. I wanted to lighten the mood, you know, because it was, I don't even know what happened to Des Bishop. Where is he now? I should look that up. But he was one of my favorite Packers from that moment on. I was so glad he kicked ass. He had a really good career until he got hurt. I don't remember what happened. He got hurt, but it just, he got hurt in the preseason. What year was that? Was that 2012? He got hurt in the preseason and was just never really the same afterwards. But yeah, I think he tore his hamstring, if I'm not mistaken. So, hope you all enjoyed that. Now, I want to shift gears here, kind of finally for the show today. I wanted to talk a little bit about this Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy versus Drew Brees, Sean Payton debate that's been kind of all over social media lately. If you don't know, I'll fill you in. It's been kind of a thing where people, a lot of Packer fans have talked about, like, why are Sean Payton and Drew Brees, why do they get such passes for all their bad years in New Orleans, and yet Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers were held to such a higher standard in Green Bay? And then, it was funny because then my nephew sent me this meme, shout out nephew Sam, sent me this meme he saw, I think it was on Instagram. It says, Aaron Rodgers, 1 Super Bowl, 2 MVP awards, only 2 losing seasons, 10-8 in the playoffs. NFL media, Aaron Rodgers only has 1 Super Bowl and people think he's one of the greats? He's overrated. This is Drew Brees. One Super Bowl, zero MVP awards, six losing, three consecutive 7-9 seasons. Six losing seasons, three consecutive 7-9 seasons. That's terribly worded. 8-8 in playoffs. NFL Media. Drew Brees has a Hall of Fame career. One of the greatest ever. So underrated. So he sent me that after that debate was all over social media, and I thought, you know what? This will be like a fun thing to talk about, right? Because I'm not even sure who started this, but all of a sudden it was like wild. It was all over my social media. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. Now, I don't normally talk about this sort of stuff during the season because, you know, there's actual games to focus on. But hey, it's July. Again, we might not even have football next season, so screw it. Why not jump in on this, right? As the Cranberries once said, everybody else is doing it, so why can't we? The biggest reason, I mentioned the Cranberries and Guns N' Roses in the show. Nice. 90s kid, baby. The biggest reason I think, so here's the thing. The biggest reason why I think Sean Payton and Drew Brees are viewed much more favorably than our guy Aaron and our former guy Mike is what I like to call the resurrection factor. Here's what I mean. By that I mean Payton and Brees are and will forever be viewed as the pair that made the Saints an actual upper-tier franchise. I mean, look at New Orleans history before those two got there. It is mostly garbage. It's bad. How bad? How's this? In 1992, the Saints went 12-4, lost in the wild card round to the Philadelphia Eagles. From 1993, the following season, up to 2006, Peyton and Breeze's first year in town, the Saints had, are you ready for this? Two seasons. From 1993 to 2005, they had two winning seasons. 2000, they went 10-6. 2002, they went 9-7. Two. I mean, they were bad. They were mostly known for, you know, stuff like surrendering an entire draft pick, an entire draft, just to trade up to take Ricky Williams, you know? I mean, they were known mostly, you know, the fans with the bags on the head that said Aints. I mean, it was a sad-ass history. So, you know, I think that's part of it. And then I think when you look at the state that the city was in, right? I mean, this was right after Hurricane Katrina when Peyton and Brees got, well, that was the summer of 05, and then it was the 06 season that they got to town, right? So look at where they were. I mean, the city was in shambles, right? The franchise had been bad forever. It's funny that everybody thought Reggie Bush, right at the top of the, or number two in the 06 draft, was going to be what turned him around. In fact, it was Drew Brees who came to town with a lot of question marks, injury stuff. And Sean Payton, who was a big hire, but it wasn't like a hot hire. Anyways, I'm kind of getting off track here. But look at the Saints were in such a bad spot, right? Whereas with McCarthy and Rodgers, and this isn't right at all. I'm just explaining, I'm not defending. But I think those two were looked at as guys who sort of stepped into an incredible situation as far as overall team situation. I mean, the Packers were already a decade plus into their own resurrection by the time Rodgers and Mike Mack arrived on the scene. I mean, let's start with McCarthy. They were, yeah, the Sherman era had ended poorly, but they were, hey, what if 4th and 26 never happened? Oh, wait, I talked about that last time. Sorry. The Sherman era had ended poorly, but I mean, they were only a year removed from multiple playoff appearances and multiple division titles in a row when Mike got there, McCarthy. So it wasn't like all hope was lost. They were still firmly amongst the elite blue blood organizations in the NFL. And then Rodgers, I mean, well, hey, Rodgers, this is their thing, not mine. Rodgers, I mean, he was taking over a team that was fresh off an NFC Championship game appearance. Now, that point of view, that's fucking hilarious when you consider all the crap he went through during the summer of 2008. But I do think that's how a lot of people see it, fans and media, non-Packer fans and non-Packer-related media. So those two, you know, in the eyes of many, Rodgers and McCarthy, I just think they had much less room for error. Do you know what I mean? Like, the Packers were bad this year? That's unacceptable. The Saints were bad? Oh, well, the Saints, I mean, come on, guys, look at where they were before the Saints arrived. It's the Saints. I mean, holy shit, they should just be lucky that they have Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They went 7-9 3 years in a row. Hey, it's still Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Like, come on. It's the Saints, you guys. Like, they're lucky that they have those two. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the way I see it anyways on that. And then, you know, you see this in other sports, right? The Lakers get treated this way. The Celtics, the New York Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys, they're all kind of treated the same way the Packers are. There's just no room for error, right? And that's not a bad thing to be considered amongst those teams, you know? That's the top, tippy-top team of North American pro sports right there. I love that the Packers are in that group. I'm okay with them not having as much room for error as the New Orleans Saints. And then there's also what I like to call the appearance factor. And by that, I mean Sean Payton is viewed by many as an offensive genius. Which, hey, you'd think that would put him under more scrutiny, right? But for some reason, it usually allows him and others viewed in that sort of genius category, they're almost allowed more of a pass. It's strange. You'd think, like, with greater power would come greater scrutiny, but it's not really that way in the NFL, it doesn't seem like. Whereas McCarthy, well, we know how Mike was viewed nationally, don't we? He was viewed, and some Packer fans viewed him this way too. Not right, but it's how he was viewed, as a big, dopey, doofus lunkhead who lucked into having Brett Favre at the beginning of his time as a head coach, and then fell right into Aaron Rodgers right after. You know, or he had Aaron Rodgers in-house, you know, by the time Favre quit. So every time McCarthy screwed up, it was like, oh my God, this guy shouldn't be here. This doofus, this big dopey doofus, he shouldn't be there. As for why Brees is viewed more favorably than Rodgers, you know, I think there's the gaudy statistics, the gaudy records he's piled up. That, I think, does buy him a lot of leeway. Never mind that he had a four-year head start. He has them. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think with Favre, it's this way too. I think a lot of Favre's mistakes nationally were glossed over. A, because people liked the good old boy, the good Southern boy personality thing. You know, the aw shucks thing that Favre had going. Which, you know, wasn't really how Brett was, but whatever. I think Favre got a lot of pass too. Like I mentioned a while ago, like the resurrection thing. I think Favre got a pass for a lot of his mistakes. And down years in Green Bay, because it was like, look at what the Packers were before Favre got there. They were shit for two decades. Favre saved them. So what if he was bad a couple years in a row? He brought them back. Do you know what I'm saying? So I do think, but yeah, back to Brees, I think the records buy him a lot of leeway, the statistics. I mean, again, never mind the four-year head start, he's got him. And I think Brees is viewed a lot more as a stats QB. I think with Brees, people look more at his numbers. Again, the gaudy numbers, the statistics. I don't feel like Rodgers is viewed as a statistic quarterback. I feel like Rodgers gets viewed more through the highlight lens quarterback. The amazing throw. You know, I've talked before about the non-existent Aaron Rodgers Museum where you could hang up all of his various brilliant throws as individual works of art. I think he's viewed more that way, you know. The throws against the Cardinals in the playoffs, the Hail Mary against Detroit, you know, his throws in the Super Bowl. I don't feel like he's viewed as much through the statistical lens. I hope that makes sense. I think it does. You know, Rodgers is, of course, to me, the better quarterback. And, you know, Rodgers is better despite not having at least 9 games every year indoors. If you follow me on Twitter, you know, I talk about this a lot jokingly with Brees. But it's true. Brees plays 9 games every year indoors. 8 in New Orleans and 1 in Atlanta. At least 9. Can you imagine Rodgers at the very most going into has 2? You know, at Detroit, at Minnesota. He may have more, but he may only have 2. Brees will have at least 9. Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers' stats? What they'd look like? What his awards case would look like? If he'd been playing 9 contests annually indoors this whole time? Holy shit! Is he, I mean, he would have, his numbers would be even huger than they are now. They'd be ridiculous. So yeah, that's kind of my take on that whole thing. Again, normally wouldn't do that during the season, but what the hell, it's July 5th. Let's have some fun. Okay, so that about, just about wraps her up for this edition of the show. This edition of LTP. Now, I can guarantee you that you will be hearing from me again much sooner next time. In fact, it'll be about a week from now that I'll be back. So that should be fun, right? Barring anything crazy happening, should be about a week from now that you'll hear from me again. Figured it'll be good to get into a routine of doing a show more frequently now as camp is approaching. Which, I mean, that is if any of this happens. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. I'm nervous. I'm nervous that we're not going to have football. I'm kind of stealing, I'm starting to prepare myself mentally a little bit for there not being football. I will say that. So yeah, keep an eye out for the next episode. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lampesis. This has been Lemps Talkin' Pack. Thank you so very much for listening. I love you, Packer Nation. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.